Welcome to The Strategic Investor. Join us as we interview some of the world's most productive asset managers and uncover sophisticated and unique investment strategies in the markets. Here is your host, Charlie Wright.
Hello and welcome to Strategic Investor Radio on OC Talk Radio, where we bring you investment strategies you are not hearing elsewhere. We'd like to welcome to our show today, for the very first time, Toby Lofton, Managing Principal and Portfolio Manager of BP Capital Fund Advisors, with investment strategies focused on the energy sector, following specifically the strategy of the well-known, even legendary, Boone Pickens, legendary energy investor. Toby speaks to us from the headquarters just outside of Dallas. Toby, welcome to Strategic Investor Radio.
Hey, Charlie, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Love that southern accent, Toby. I was born in Birmingham. It just reminds me of all my relatives and how they sound here. So, Toby, you're out of the Air Force Academy. Then you got a master's degree in finance from the University of Texas at San Antonio. And you've been focused on the energy sector ever since, with a time with Steel Path Fund and elsewhere. Currently, BP Capital Fund Advisors is currently the sub-advisors to the Hennessy, BP Energy, and Midstream Funds. So first question here, Toby, with you guys being started and basically owned by Boone Pickens, does that mean that you have to be an Oklahoma State Cowboys fan to work there?
You know, ironically, there are no Oklahoma State grads who work at the organization, but we are fans. We like one another a whole lot.
Hey, I bet. So give us a brief background of yours, will you, and BP Capital Fund Advisors.
Okay, sure, Charlie. Thanks. I was born and raised in Lake Charles, Louisiana, the heel of the boot of Louisiana. And I did attend the Air Force Academy, served as an officer, and then got into the capital markets in 1999. And, my road led me to Dallas and eventually met the folks at BP Capital back in 03 and served them for many years as an outside research provider. And then joined the firm in 2010 as part of the investment committee for the family office and the hedge funds, and then ultimately with the support of Boone, building out BP Capital Fund Advisors. And the genesis of that really was that we thought that the expertise we had in-house was largely deployed for the benefit of private investors and funds, and we thought it would be appropriate to make that more available to the public. And so that's where you see the Hennessy BP funds, and then we also have an exchange-traded fund that's actually the ticker symbol. It is Boone, B-O-O-N. So we'll talk more about that, but that's a brief background on myself.
You know, Toby, we had somebody else on a couple of years ago from the oil industry, and he told a story about Boone. He said he asked Boone, he said, Boone, what does it take to be successful in the oil business? And he said, Boone said, son, he said, being successful in the oil business is simple, but it ain't easy. And if you're dumb, it's really hard. Does that sound like Boone?
It does. Look, the first day I got here, it was April 1st, 2010, and I was here real early in the morning, and he came walking down the hallway, and I heard his footsteps, and he poked his head in my office, and he said, are you making any money yet? And I mean, I popped up out of my chair, and I looked at him, and I said, yes, sir, I'm fixing to. I'm getting position to do so. And we hopped in there and went to our first morning meeting. And look, he is extremely committed to winning. And he has done that by studying the energy markets and knowing it better than anyone else. He calls it an inch wide and a mile deep. And so that's how we do it around here.
Hey, well, that's great to hear, and no question about it. The whole energy market is such a large portion of the U.S. GDP and the U.S. markets in general, and it depends on, and it creates opportunities and jobs galore. So, when prices go down, it's bad for the economy, but it's good for the consumer because they're paying less. And when prices go up, it's good for the economy because it employs more people, but it's bad for the consumer. So whatever happens there, you know, it has its benefits and opportunities. So tell us about your investment strategy and basically how it works.
Yeah, well, Charlie, one thing that we noticed when we surveyed the landscape of available products that were dedicated to energy, particularly in the Morningstar category, we saw that there was a tendency to be married to the upstream. Let me unpack that phrase. What that means is that most energy strategies focused on the upstream portion of the value chain. So they were involved in exploration and production companies and oilfield services and sometimes in refining. But look, the way that things have changed over the last decade plus here in the U.S. means that you have to look at energy through a different lens. You need to be more inclusive of the value chain so that the end users would be considered for inclusion in the universe of potential choices for the portfolios.
So Toby, upstream being exactly what for those of us not in that industry?
Yeah, if you think about just the flow of a hydrocarbon, meaning let's take a barrel of oil, comes out of the ground, that's upstream, and then it flows downstream. So it's got to go, beginning with up, then it touches the pipe, that's called midstream, and then you get to the downstream, which is the refiners that actually process the crude into gasoline and diesel and other products. And then ultimately, an end user would be, a trucking company that uses the diesel to transport goods to Walmart so you and I can buy them. So there's a whole flow of the supply chain. We call it the value chain. And so as a result of that view, we've given ourselves the latitude in the Tennessee BP Energy Fund to go across that whole spectrum of companies so that when things look a little bit more grim for the supply side, we can move to the demand side and vice versa.
I see. Okay. So heretofore, what you're saying is that people have been focused on the exploration and pumping it out of the ground, whereas you guys take a look at the midstream and the downstream also to include those limited partnerships who do transport and even down to the end user.
Correct. And our midstream fund. So we have an energy fund that's full value chain, and then we have a midstream fund that focuses on what we call core midstream. So gathering, processing, long-haul pipe and storage and some LNG terminals and things of that nature. But we'll get into that later in the conversation because there's some nuances that I think will be helpful to discuss.
Okay. So how are you guys unique in the marketplace? You focus on the full value chain, but that's generic phrase to most of us here. So what makes you unique that you can describe to us novices in that industry?
Well, look, I think that understanding your core competency and where you're able to add value is critical. And for us, look, we are dedicated to energy. We eat, breathe, and sleep it. It's our DNA. And the organization, going all the way back to Boone's founding of Mesa back in 56, there's such goodwill that's been formed with the industry. So as we collect information and form a mosaic, we, because of our dedication and history, feel like we have an edge in that way. And then taking all of that, the privilege of that information and that view, and incorporating it into what we call a repeatable investment process where we identify themes, then we look at the companies that are related to those themes, we do our valuation work, and then we implement into the portfolios and continually are monitoring and potentially changing the portfolio. So it's a combination of knowing our stuff, because we're dedicated, and then driving that car, if you will, by a repeatable investment process that's very disciplined. And that's what makes us different.
Okay, so now you guys, you call yourself a capital fund, BP Capital Fund, but you're advisors. So are you investing through private equity? Are you investing in private companies? Are you investing only in publicly listed companies, including limited partnerships? Whom do you invest in?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Charlie. To clarify, the funds only invest in publicly listed equities. So we have a sister organization that is private equity related, and we share resources and information when we're able to. But BP Capital Fund Advisors is fully dedicated to publicly traded equities.
Okay, and you invest at any given time, you're invested in about how many of those?
Right. So in the energy strategy, the general range is between 25 to 35 names. The percentage weighting in each name can be anywhere between 2 to 5%, give or take. And then in the midstream strategy, it's typically 20 to 25 names. And we have a convention where we either have a 3%, a 5%, or a 7% allocation, depending on our level of conviction within the name.
And are you in oil only? Or I'm sure you're now also in natural gas, in other things?
So we are in the full hydrocarbon chain and look at each one of them very specifically. Right now, we're more excited about the oil-related producers just simply because of where oil prices are. And that gas is largely viewed as oversupplied, at least for now. And we think that that's worth following, and that could change in the maybe intermediate to longer term. But we're involved in all of it.
Okay, and I presume you're long only. You guys don't do any shorting or any of that kind of thing in your strategies?
That's correct. In the funds, the mutual funds, they're long only.
Okay. And interest rates. I remember when interest rates started to rise, that people said this was bad for many of the companies in the energy industry because they're so capital intensive. Is that fairly accurate? And if so, how do you guys deal with that?
Yeah, you know, Charlie, I think the best way to approach that topic is to really ask the question, why are the rates going up? Usually, what we find is that if rates are rising, it's due to an increase in economic activity, which generally means that you're going to need energy to meet the needs of demand. And so in most cases, and even when you go back and look historically of the midstream equities response to interest rates, you would think that if you just looked at it myopically, that if rates go up, then midstream is hit. Or suffers in terms of pricing. That's not the case. And part of that is because with increased economic activity, you have increased throughput of oil and natural gas that is supporting the growth of the economy. And so we don't consider that to be a factor that concerns us. It's more important to understand why the interest rates are changing. And that's how we view it in our investment process.
You know, that's a great point, and most of us are fairly myopic in looking at those things. So continuing on that thought process here, what misperceptions do you see, Toby, by investors and their advisors in looking at and investing in this space here?
Well, one of the things that we get often, Charlie, is the idea that electric vehicles are going to take over the transportation market, and that oil demand is going to fall by the wayside, and that basically oil demand has peaked here. And what we would tell you is that that's just simply not the case. And when you look at the numbers, you're looking at an extremely small percentage of global oil demand. Call it at the current moment, you're looking at less than 50 basis points of global demand in terms of the oil consumption that's being displaced by electric vehicles. But what we think is even more important than that is understanding the other part of the demand picture, which is petrochemical. It is widely accepted within the industry that one-third of all oil demand growth by 2030 will be from petchem, and will be roughly half of oil demand growth by 2050 will be from petchem demand. So I'll tell you a quick story, Charlie.
Yeah, but before you do that, Toby, define that a little better. I didn't really follow. Petrochemicals, the demand. What are you saying here? I'm not following.
Yeah. Okay. No. Thank you for stopping me there. It's a good point to clarify. So when you look at a plastic bottle, water bottle, the feedstock or the elements that are used to create it come from oil derivatives, and in general, there's two different components that represent that feedstock. It's either naphtha, which is a light-end oil derivative, or ethane and propane, which are more closely related to natural gas. But either of those two can be the precursor to plastics. And even in some cases, polypropylene is used in the production of the fuselage of aircraft and things of that nature. There's a whole lot that's misunderstood about that particular part of the marketplace. And so with rising demand from India and China and other Asian economies, in terms of the per capita energy demand, we believe that is going to happen. Like over time, pet chem demand is going to represent more and more of the overall growth.
Great point. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And the quick story that I was going to share is that I'm from a little town called Lake Charles, Louisiana. And a few years ago, Sasol, which is a South African Synthetic Oil Limited company, decided to build an ethane cracker facility and spend over $15 billion to build that facility because they knew that natural gas liquids, the ethane and propane and related hydrocarbons, were going to be abundant in North America. And that spot in Lake Charles was a good spot to position themselves for the next 40, 50 years to take advantage of it. And so there's a whole slew of examples, but I choose that one because it's in my hometown.
Sure. And so tell us, what major objections besides electric vehicles do you get from advisors and from investors? Because everybody knows, our world lives on oil here. And, it ought to be a no-brainer that people who know that industry are well-positioned to be able to invest wisely and purposefully here.
Yeah, look, the main objection that we get is that energy is just too volatile, it's uninvestable, and they view it largely as a trade as opposed to a long-term holding. And look, it's hard to disagree with that if you just look at the E&P and services side of the coin, but that's why we have a balanced approach. That's why we incorporate the end users and not just the upstream. But the other backdrop point to make is that in shale 1.0, we were largely in a land grab phase where the drill, baby, drill mentality was being applied. And Boone has a funny quote about this. He says, giving cash to an exploration and production company is like giving a head of cabbage to a rabbit. They're going to chew through it. That's what they do, right? Well, but now we're entering into what we call shale 2.0. where it's a more of a mentality of show me the money. I want to see capital discipline, return of capital and on capital, and I want you to spend wisely and not just drill for the sake of growing. And so as we enter into that phase, we believe that we're going to enjoy a recovery in the energy sector that we haven't seen in a long time.
Well, very interesting, and for many reasons, that's not especially the best thing always for the retail, the consumer, but certainly for the economy, that is that's very important and can be very, very helpful. So, how do you see all of this playing out over the coming years for the industry and then for BP Capital Fund Advisors?
Well, one of the things that folks lose sight of, just given the tendency to look at the immediate picture, is that in the second half of 2014 through 2017, there was a reduction in capital expenditures around the world because of lower oil prices. And particularly the non-OPEC, non-US part of the supply for oil has been neglected, meaning that long lead time projects that typically take 3 to 5 years from when they reach the investment decision to drill to when they actually produce, many of those projects have either been canceled or postponed in such a way that holes in the supply growth picture are going to show up in 2021 and 2022. That is really important because here we are with decline rates in the United States associated with the horizontal drilling are much greater. Think of it like a treadmill. It used to be that our decline rates were 5% per year. Well, now they're closer to 20 to 25% per year. So there is going to be a need for supply to meet that oncoming demand. And that's in the context of Saudi Arabia announcing their highest budget number in history at $295 billion US dollar equivalent, which means that they need at least north of $75 Brent prices to balance their budget. So those are more intermediate to longer-term topics that people tend to forget, and that's why we think you need to be a long-term investor in energy going forward.
You know, it would be hard to argue with those points here, Toby. Do you guys focus primarily on advisors?
We do. I mean, most of our practice is the folks that are independent registered investment advisors that have their own firms. We also do business with the major wirehouses, but we also have institutional investors that entrust their capital to us. So it ranges, but most of our customers are RIAs.
Okay. So let's change the focus just a little bit. Tell us, in your years of investing here, what's the best advice you've ever heard, read, or received about investing?
Well, look, I am... part of the family of BP Capital, and Boone has taught us, you know, from day one that you outwork the competition, not necessarily by the number of hours you work, but by deep familiarity with your domain. You do your homework, you be a good teammate and partner, and you do what you say you're going to do. You trust your teammate and you work together, and things will work out. But, you know, sometimes the ball doesn't bounce in your favor, but if you're doing your part and doing your homework and understanding your area of competence, well, then you will largely, things will go well for you.
Great advice. I'm sure every football coach, you know, would agree with that and say, hey, things are not always going to bounce your way, and sometimes you're going to get bad calls from referees, but overall, that's the way life works, and, you know, that's certainly what I told our seven kids many times. Don't know how much of that really stuck, but it's great advice for anybody here. So a question we'd like to ask all of our guests here, Toby, what keeps you awake at night?
Yeah, Charlie, look, to answer that question directly, generally nothing keeps me up at night. And let me be really specific about why I'm saying or answering it in that way. If I'm increasingly relying on myself to carry the load of the team or whatever responsibilities I have and not on the provision of the Lord, and that includes my team, well, then things don't go well if it's more about me and less about the team. And so, look, he tells us in the Word that we can do nothing apart from him. So when I attempt to do things away from him, then things don't go well. And I rely on that truth. You know, if the Lord doesn't build the house, then we labor in vain. And, you know, we rise early in the morning and stay up late toiling for food, but he grants sleep to those that he loves. So that's my answer to that.
You know, Toby, I in particular love that answer and really, really appreciate it. The second question we like to ask is, what book on investing would you recommend for our listeners?
Well, you know, again, I'm going to go back to the Word, and I'm going to say, look, there's this big topic that Boone and I have talked about for years about, like, what is there such thing as luck? And some people call it the residue of skill, and some people describe it differently. Like, I go to the book of Genesis and the story of Joseph and how he used his insight from the Lord and his skills to serve the broader good. And it reinforces the truth that God's sovereign over all and has the power to exalt whoever he chooses. So, you know, we can't predict oil prices, but we do our part. We do our homework. We walk humbly and let the chips fall where they may. Now, I will say one more thing, that one of our teammates, Trip Rogers, has written a book, and it's a great book. It's called Wrestling Old Man Market, and you can buy it on Amazon. And it is a compilation of all the lessons that he has learned over the 20-plus years of investing at the firm where he spent the most time before he joined us.
Okay, very good. So give us the name of the book and his name again quickly.
Sure. It's called Wrestling Old Man Market by Trip Rogers with a D, RODGERS. And he was a college wrestler at the University of Cornell and was extremely competitive. And he took some time off after a very successful portfolio management role at a local firm here in Dallas. And in that time off, he wrote this book. And it's a great kind of debrief of his viewpoints.
Okay, and Mr. Market being the stock market?
That's right. Yeah,
okay.
The analogy of wrestling Old Man Market.
Okay, thank you very much. That has not been recommended by others and sounds very interesting. So for those who would like to know more here, Toby, give us your website and contact information, will you?
Sure, yeah. So website is bpcfunds.com. So Bravo Papa Charlie Funds, plural.com. And we also have one other website. It's tbooneetf.com. That's T-Boone ETF. There's only one E in there. T-BooneETF.com.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Final words for our listeners here, Toby.
You know, I'm going to share a quote from Boone where he says that the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, but the second best time to plant a tree is today. So if you didn't plant one then, do it today. And I'd recommend that same idea for investing in energy. We're in Shale 2.0, and come join us on the journey.
Hey, that is great. And I think, Toby, I used that quote either last week or the week before in a different interview here. So it shows I'm in good company, and I wasn't even aware that Boone uses it also. So, Toby, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And our best wishes to you and to BP Capital Fund Advisors and what you guys undertake to do here in the energy sector.
Hey, grateful to be with you guys. Thanks. Thank you so much, Charlie.
So again, we've been listening to Toby Lofton, Managing Principal and Portfolio Manager of BP Capital Fund Advisors. You've been listening to Strategic Investor Radio on OC Talk Radio, where we bring you investment strategies you are not hearing elsewhere. And we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at info@strategicinvestorradio.com. And you can go to our website to hear podcasts of all of our interviews and shows, strategicinvestorradio.com. I'm Charlie Wright, wishing you an enjoyable week and productive investing.
Strategic Investor Radio is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. Content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host Charlie Wright or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.